Baruch Hashem Adonai, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with your Bible teacher and great researcher, my wife, Sheila Crawford.
Shalom. Thanks for tuning in. Tonight, we are going to look at the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and Rome. But first, my very sweet husband will ask for God's blessing on tonight's program.
Abba, Father, we glorify and adore you. We trust in you and praise your holy name as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, knowing everything is in your hands and under your control to fulfill your word. We humbly ask for your blessing on tonight's program as we offer to you the prayer requests recently sent to us for serious healings, financial needs, and especially for the salvations of our loved ones. May this message tonight be an eye-opener to many and make us even more aware of your soon appearing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And just a quick reminder, if you missed any previous studies, you can go to shofarministries.net where they are all archived.
Yes, they are. And tonight we must forego the news because we have a lot of pertinent information to pass on that really makes a difference in the end time scenario.
Yes, this is a little more important. Tonight, and probably next week too, we are going to see how Rome is a dot connector and perhaps unknowingly to most, has been a major player throughout history.
And you say the old Roman Empire is not dead. You mean like undercover stuff, so to speak?
Yes. I feel this must be addressed. It's heavy on my heart because so many are looking to a Muslim as the leader of the New World Order. But we want to reveal with some twists and turns how from our research, Rome is really the head over Islam.
Yeah, it surely is. That's quite amazing.
I know. But you do know, to be a good student of the Bible, you need to know it as a whole picture and not just pieces and parts.
For sure.
So that means the end time scenario as well. And that's why there are prophetic books.
And in the New Testament, Revelation is a prophetic book.
You think?
I think.
And those of you who are regular listeners might agree with me by now that Mystery Babylon of Revelation is indeed Rome. But tonight, we're going to look at the book of Daniel, very prophetic book in the Old Testament that really holds the key confirmation that this world leader will indeed be from Rome. In Daniel chapter 9, he has an encounter with the angel Gabriel, who came to explain Daniel's vision of the 70 weeks of years. When Gabriel told Daniel that after 69 weeks of years,
that's 483 years from a certain starting point.
Right, and we know that starting point, the Messiah would be killed.
And that happened right on time.
It really did. Then in verse 26 of Daniel 9, it says Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. And now we know from history that in 70 AD, it was the Romans that leveled the temple. So when we read in verse 26 that a future man is coming from the same people who would destroy Jerusalem, would later sign a covenant with Israel.
And many nations will agree to it.
Then we know he's from Rome. And when he signs that agreement, it starts the clock again to finish the last 7 years of that 490-year prophecy that was stopped at Jesus' death. It's called a gap. And it's a time for the church to be birthed and do its work. You see, in the Old Testament, the church was a mystery. So it could not be described, only seen by these obvious gaps in Scripture, of which I'm told there are about 24 of them.
Yes, and I think it's Isaiah 9:6 is another great example of this gap for the church age.
Yeah, maybe people would understand that better if you showed it to them. Read
okay,
that.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given.
Right, and so now here comes a gap, because the next sentence still hasn't happened yet until the church leaves. So what does it say?
And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Right. So you see that there's a time space in there. So when you see these gaps of time, it always represents the church age. Okay, back to Daniel. Daniel 9, at the end of verse 27, Gabriel goes on to say that this wicked prince will do the abomination and then will come to his end. And we know that from Revelation 19, that that's Jesus himself with the sword of his mouth. So Daniel and Revelation complement each other.
So what we are saying is that if you believe prophetic scripture, there is no other conclusion to come to, and that is the Antichrist will be a leader from Rome.
Right, and I haven't found any scripture that says he's going to be a Muslim.
Right.
And again, because the edict to destroy the temple did come from the Roman general in 70 AD,
mm-hmm.
And let me add this, just because the European Union seems to be digressing right now, Rome is still Rome, mm-hmm. and it does not have to be an empire. Although we do know Rome does have secret major influence all around the globe.
Right, and including America,
yeah.
who has the same kind of buildings in Washington with domes and
yep.
obelisks.
Yep, you can look them up, you can see them yourself. And actually Israel does too. Plenty of pictures of the similarities on the net and in books in the library. You can still go to the library if you feel uncomfortable with them.
Now, hasn't there been past treaties signed by Israel with their enemy?
Yes, but they never included the status of Jerusalem since it was regained in the 1967 war. And only when the leader, again, of Rome, signs on, he'll probably internationalize Jerusalem, but it'll be under his authority. And that's going to last for 7 years, called by many names, but best known as the tribulation.
But the real Bible-believing church, hopefully we won't see that.
Hopefully we won't, and we won't. Because it goes back to finish the prophecy that today is still in the church gap of time. And this is so important, if you can just get a hold of this. You see, we have to leave because the church was not here for the first 69 weeks, and we must leave for the last week of 7 years to be completed. And it's also called Jacob's trouble. When this time all Israel now will accept their Messiah. So it'll go back to that spot. Now they'll accept the Messiah. And, of course, the catalyst, we all know, is the war of Ezekiel 38. And it says they'll know the Messiah in verse 23. Anyhow, when you yourself, and you got to see it yourself, when you connect the dots, you will know that the man of perdition that we call the Antichrist is a pope of Rome from the Vatican. I'm not positive it's this one. I think it is because he's a Jesuit, but it's a pope. And again, this Vatican is the city on one of the seven hills of Rome called Vaticanus, also known in ancient days, I don't know if you knew this, honey, as the place of the diving serpent, where the satanic temple of the two-faced god named Janus once stood.
And by the way, the month of January is named after him.
Oh, that's right. Rome's Vatican City, since the Lateran Treaty of 1929, they don't answer to anyone. They are totally sovereign. They write their own laws. They have their own judges. They even have their own Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And many websites include this particular statement. Will you read that?
The Vatican is not just a center of religion, but a center of government for that religion.
That's what it says. Which is why there are two keys on its flag. One silver for political, and the other one is gold for spiritual.
And one flag, two authorities.
That's right. I think it's very interesting that John the Revelator said there are many antichrists in one of his letters, I think, 1 John 2:18.
Now, that makes sense, because how many popes have we had?
About 266. Mm. So, we've had a lot of them. I just thought that was interesting. And, by the way, let me absolutely clarify. I'm not saying that all the popes are bad. Actually, some tried to fight the system, but were usually assassinated.
By poison, usually.
Mm-hmm. And some popes tried to rid Rome of the evil Jesuits. By the way, the Jesuits were formed back in 1540 by Ignatius Loyola to counter the Reformation that happened in 1517. Remember when Martin Luther and many, along with him, of course, left the One World Church, and we now call it Protestantism. But the Catholic Church was livid over that. Anyhow, the leader of the Jesuits, which was formed to counteract that, is called the Jesuit General.
Also known as the Black Pope.
Yes, and he always wears black because he hides in the dark pretty much. And the other pope is called the White Pope, who wears white and rides on a white horse. I mean a white Popemobile. Because he takes the place of Christ on earth. Remember John's vision in Revelation 1, Jesus Christ was all in white.
And you have some actual quotes from a few of the popes.
I do. And again, you can find these out for yourself. I have a quote from Pope Pius X, and this is what he said, quote, "The Pope is not simply the representative of Christ. On the contrary, he is Jesus Christ himself, under the veil of the flesh." Does the Pope speak? It is Jesus Christ who is speaking. Hence, when anyone speaks of the Pope, it is not necessary to examine, but to obey. And that was from a London Chronicle called The Evangelical Christendom, of January 1st, 1895, page 15.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
And you can get that in your library as well. Now, another pope said, quote, "Every human creature is subject to the Roman pontiff." Every human creature.
Mm-hmm.
"This we declare, say, define, and pronounce to be altogether necessary to salvation." This was Pope Boniface VIII in 1302. And he actually called himself King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
And Pope Pius IX said, "I am sovereign."
He did. That was in like 1846 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But these quotes are still recorded in their papal bulls and have never been retracted. And they could have been. Another one is Pope Leo XIII. He said, "We hold upon this earth the place of God Almighty." That was in 1894.
This is pretty unbelievable, unless you see the power behind it all.
Exactly. And that is the key to be able to put all evil in proper perspective.
Yeah, I have another one, maybe more recent.
I do. Pope Pius XI, 1924, speaking to school children visiting at the Vatican for a field trip. He said, "I am the Pope. I am King over all. I am God on earth. When I speak, my word is the word of God, and you are to remember this as long as you live."
Wow.
This is from the book Alien Rome from Bertrand Tipple on page 285.
They are saying what the Antichrist will say.
Well, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Certainly by the time he sits in the temple or makes that abomination.
You mean when he sits in the temple and declares himself, "I'm God."
Yeah.
You have a more recent one?
Yeah, let's just do one more because we are running out of time already. Pope John Paul, who I remember as a Catholic myself in 1984, said, "Don't go to God for forgiveness. Come to me."
I bet you that caught some press.
It did. Los Angeles Times, December 12th, 1984, and Time Magazine carried it as well. And there are others, but these quotes, they're just an abomination to the Lord. But before I go on, I just want to make another statement in case we have some new listeners. I was Catholic more than half my life. So that's why I am doing this expose. I love the Catholics, but they are being deceived, as I was.
Yes, they are.
I must tell the truth. I will have to answer to God someday for what I did with the truth that he's revealed to me. And shame on anyone who are not witnessing to Catholics and telling them the truth. But
amen.
Let's continue. We have, I want to focus on the Society of Jesus.
Okay, so, right. So the main agenda of the Jesuits is to go back to a one world religion.
And to gain Jerusalem. Now I must say that the lower level Jesuits are not involved. This is very important. And they actually must be picked to move up the ladder to the fourth level. And it takes heavy training of at least 15 years. And then, if approved, they have to take the fourth level vow of total submission. Look it up on the net. It is awful. Even unto death of either himself or someone else for the cause. To control all aspects, financially, governmentally, and spiritually, of a one-world religion that existed back in the Dark Ages. And, you know, one of their covert schemes is for some of these fourth-level Jesuits, they would actually change their names and infiltrate all walks of society, even entering the Protestant seminaries under a false identity and staying undercover, causing division, strife, and even setting up good ministers to fall, often using false accusations.
And you know what? They were very successful. Look at all the Protestant denominations.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Other Jesuits will work in governments, Pentagon, their coadjutors, they're called, also known as short coats, with total obedience to the Black Pope, who, by the way, the Jesuits ordered J.P. Morgan to build the Titanic so the Jesuit-trained Sea Captain Smith could purposely sink the Titanic to get rid of the men who were invited on the ship who were against starting the Federal Reserve. And they all invited for free to enjoy this unsinkable ship, they were told. And it just happened to propel directly into an area of icebergs in 1912.
And within 2 years of that, the Federal Reserve was started.
That's right, and is covertly run by the Jesuits to this day. We also believe the Jesuits were responsible for the killing of Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy and many others. That's what they do. They work for the evil one, as Ephesians 6 teaches us. Well, after all that information, let's take a quick breather and tell our listeners how they can contact us with their end-time questions.
I would love to. Okay, by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please prayerfully consider any love offering which is needed and greatly appreciated, and will automatically put you on our mailing list for any news, updates, and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, that contains many teachings, especially on Hebraic Roots 101. And all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. And the first Friday of every month at 7 p.m., we will be at Chester Christian Center in Chester, Ohio. always with a very timely message.
Okay, we only have a few minutes, and we're going to be finishing this next week, but we'll get started on how the Catholic Church actually created Islam.
Okay, yes, and you can read about this in our January 2014 newsletter.
2 years ago, I wrote about it.
Mm-hmm. Feel free to copy and give out.
Also, Chick Publications carries this report as well, as foretold by ex-Jesuit who broke away. He got married and told his story.
And was later killed, as he had predicted would happen to him and verified by his wife.
That's right. And YouTube has actually Alberto Rivero talking on there in his own words if you want to. This information is easy to find. It really is. But other ex-Jesuits have admitted that all the popes have had a strong desire to be the universal monarch of the world. And, of course, one of the symbols for this is the monarch butterfly. But they really do want to rule from Solomon's rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, which is why it's going to be built. It's their throne in Jerusalem, just like the Bible says. Don't forget, Satan wants to sit in the temple and declare himself God, just like God did. And look how long it has taken him, but his plan will soon come to pass. And it looks like pretty soon, as this pope is moving very quickly, says some awful things, and he is the first Jesuit pope, remember that. But again, if you listen carefully to his statements, you know, like atheists can go to heaven if they're good. Come on, people, wake up. And many others. It's just so revealing. And, you know, it's also interesting that even some Catholics are saying right now that he's an apostate. But if we go back to the early 7th century, there was a young Arab boy named Muhammad who lost his father, then his mother, and when his grandparents died as well from disease, he lived with an uncle. Well, there was a Roman monk named Bishop Augustine who worked in the mission field to convert Arabs to Catholicism, and he was very successful, converting sometimes whole Arab tribes at a time. Well, one day he came to pay a visit to Muhammad's home, and this was in the area of North Africa. Arabs then weren't really very religious in anything except maybe a few moon gods and deities. So the Arabs had some knowledge of Catholicism from word of mouth, and it was growing in power. But of course there was some opposition occurring from the true Christians and Jews who were out there as well. But somehow the Vatican had to stop this criticism. Rome saw the Arabs as a source of manpower to do their dirty work. Anyhow, we're going to have to finish this next week. I hope that I've sparked your curiosity to find out the more details. And in the meantime, Nick, this whole week, check me out. Look up some stuff. It's pretty amazing. But also, the main thing is, too, is do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, what are you waiting for? Time is really running out. Repent and make Jesus Lord over your life. The Aaronic blessing. Yivrakaka Adonai v'yishmereka, Ya'er Adonai panav v'leka v'yuneka, Yasei Adonai panav v'leka v'yusam l'cha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that real shalom that passes all understanding. So until next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Please pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because when you do that, you're praying for Jesus to come soon. And then those who love her will prosper. And that's Psalm 122:6. God bless you. Have a good week. Enjoy the sun. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.